KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 32 degrees in the Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies here today with a high near 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Members of the Iowa Supreme Court will meet with students with stops at five high schools and a college in the Sioux City area. The justices will split up for visits next Wednesday at Sioux City North, Sioux City West, Maple Valley in Mapleton, Westwood in Sloan, Otebold Arthur BCIG in Ida Grove, and Morningside College in Sioux City. They'll talk with those students about the role of the courts. The judicial branch said the justices also will hold a special session at 7 p.m. next Tuesday at Morningside's Epley Auditorium, or they will hear arguments in two cases. I'll have more news after this.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner the frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Iowa regulators haven't renewed the gambling license for the floating Argosy Casino in Sioux City, but the cards will still be shuffled and dealt, and bets will be made because the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission intends to keep the Argosy operating. The Sioux City Journal reports the commission gave routine license renewals to the rest of the state-regulated casinos on Thursday. But the Argosy's wasn't because its operator, Penn National Gaming Company, and its local nonprofit sponsor, Missouri River Historical Development, no longer have an operating agreement. Commission Chairman Jeff Lamberti said the plan is to keep the Argosy operating and its more than 300 employees working until its land-based replacement opens. A new state report says expenditures by Iowa's 18 state-regulated casinos hit $1.14 billion last year. It was the first year since 2008 that casinos spent more than $1 billion. The 14% growth over 2011 came in large part from the 2011 opening of a casino in northwest Iowa and improvements at other casinos. Industry leaders also say the increased spending and revenue show the industry has stabilized after 3 years of lower returns. The report says the 18 casinos last year spent about $286 million on payroll and benefits, $363 million on equipment, supplies, and services, $405 million on federal, state, and local taxes, and $87 million on charitable donations and other nonprofit contributions. A Senate panel approved a beefed-up version of the governor's education reform plan that requires increased teacher pay and institute leadership programs. The Senate Education Committee approved the measure Thursday by a 9-6 vote, with all Democrats in support and Republicans opposed. Bill sponsor, Senator Herman Kurmbach of Ames, said the Senate's version would cost $190 million. That's more expensive than Republican Governor Terry Branstad's plan. The measure increases minimum teacher salaries to $35,000 and offers options to school districts for leadership programs. The Senate plan includes a 4% funding increase to school districts in the coming two fiscal years. Republicans oppose the bill, saying it removes experienced teachers from the classroom to mentor other educators. The House has approved a bill limiting raises and making reforms voluntary. A new report says Iowa's three public universities are still missing target rates for graduation in 4 years. The Des Moines Register says fewer than half the students at the three schools finish in 4 years, although the rates have been rising in recent years. The annual report for the Iowa Board of Regents says Iowa's universities have graduation rates above the national average. Iowa State University has a 39.5% rate, nearly 2 points shy of its goal. The University of Northern Iowa, at 37.8%, is less than a point away from its goal of 38.4% of graduation rate. The University of Iowa's current rate is just short of its goal of 48.3%. The Regents want each university to achieve their goals by 2016. Workers in Iowa's largest public sector union won't have to pay a contribution to their health insurance under a new 2-year contract issued by an arbitrator. The award for the 20,000 members of Iowa Council 61 of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, or AFSCME, was announced Thursday. The contract includes no raises except for step increases for workers who haven't reached top pay scale. Union President Danny Homan said the union and Governor Terry Branstad agreed on wages during negotiations, but the process went to arbitration because the two sides couldn't resolve health care. Branstad called for union members to start paying a portion of health care costs while the union sought to maintain current benefits. In a statement, Branstad says he's disappointed by the health care decision. Department of Management Director David Roeder said that Iowa's state budget will be reduced by $46 million due to automatic federal budget cuts. Roeder says education, public health, and workforce development will be the hardest hit areas. More than 235 budgeted positions could be impacted, though he didn't say how many of those jobs were filled or how many could face layoffs or furloughs. Roeder said at a Thursday press conference at the state capitol that the state's National Guard funding will be cut, but it is largely funded by the federal government and doesn't come under the state budget. The total state and federal budget for Iowa is about $12 billion. The White House and Congress last week failed to meet a deadline to prevent $85 billion in budget cuts. Some of the hundreds of bills introduced in the legislature will die this week as lawmakers run up against a self-imposed deadline. Most high-profile measures dealing with issues like property tax changes and education reform are moving through the process, but others dealing with gay marriage, abortion, and gun control will not survive the Friday deadline. Today's deadline, that is. Under the legislature's rules, bills die if they haven't been approved by a committee by today, though they can be eligible in the session next year. Lawmakers won't return to work until Monday. The Legislative Services Agency says 478 bills were introduced in the House this year and 354 in the Senate. Last year, 640 House and 478 Senate bills were introduced. And among those bills that failed to meet an Iowa legislature deadline today include, as we mentioned, gay marriage, also mandatory safety helmets, where minors would have been required to wear a safety helmet while riding a moped. A bill that was proposed to abolish the Education Department failed as well. That would have eliminated the Department of Ed and replaced it with a state board of education. A bill dealing with guns on school grounds also failed. People with a permit to carry a weapon could have done so if the bill would have made it through the funnel deadline and passed. Also a bill concerning medical marijuana, internet poker, webcam abortions, traffic cameras, death penalty, and no-fault divorce all have failed to meet the Iowa legislature's deadline. A legislative committee that oversees state government agency rules is scheduled to review again a new voting rule proposed by Secretary of State Matt Schultz. The rule establishes a way to remove from voter registration lists an individual whose citizenship is questioned. The ACLU of Iowa says it will ask the Administrative Rules Review Committee at today's meeting to delay implementation or refer the rule to lawmakers. With no action, the rule becomes effective March 27th. The ACLU, along with the League of Women Voters and others, believe the rule violates state law and that Schultz lacks the authority to pass it without legislative approval. The committee may simply let it go into effect, delay its implementation, or object to it and ask the legislature to consider it. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the unemployment rate in the U.S. is down to 7.7% after employers added 236,000 jobs in February. The stronger hiring suggested that businesses are confident about the economy despite higher taxes and government spending cuts. A senior al-Qaeda leader who was also Osama bin Laden's son-in-law is set to appear in federal court in Manhattan this morning to answer to allegedly plotting against Americans. Prosecutors say Suleiman Abu Ghaf, who was captured over the last week in Jordan, appeared with bin Laden the day after the September 11th attacks and called for Muslims to do battle against Jews, Christians, and Americans. The Vatican says cardinals will vote today on when to begin electing a new pope. The Vatican says the conclave will likely start in the first few days of next week. Cardinals have been attending pre-conclave meetings to discuss the problems of the church and decide who among them is best suited to fix them as pope. Google says it's cutting 1,200 more jobs in its Motorola division. The latest reductions come on top of the 4,000 Motorola job cuts Google announced last summer. Motorola has been struggling to compete with Apple and Samsung. KJAN News, time is 8:09.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner the frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Ron Norton Raymond Posh, age 57, of Harlan, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Ron Posh will be held today at 11 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dale Fredrickson, age 83, of Elkhorn, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Dale Fredrickson will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Bethany Lutheran Church near Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Ronald Nielsen, age 88, a resident of the Heritage House in Atlantic, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Ronald Nielsen will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Lewis United Congregational Methodist Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Reno Leroy Wingert, age 92, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. A massive Christian burial service for Reno Wingert will be on Saturday at 10:30 at St. Mary's of the Assumption Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Warren Tibbles, age 92, of Omaha and formerly of Carson, died Sunday. Funeral services for Warren Tibbles will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Carson, with the Les Hales Funeral Home of Carson in charge of arrangements. Martinez Irving Christensen, age 88, formerly of Harlan, died Sunday in Newton. Visitation and time of fellowship with the family of Martinez Christensen will be held on Saturday from 2 until 5 p.m. at the Pence Tribute Center in Newton. Pence Reese Funeral Home in Newton has the arrangements. Fern Nelson, age 91, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Fern Nelson will be on Saturday at 2:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Beverly Kunkel, age 84, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. A memorial service for Beverly Kunkel will be held on Monday at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center is in charge of the arrangements. Ray Wingle, age 84, of Manila, died Wednesday at the Manila Manor. A funeral service for Ray Wingle will be held on Monday at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home of Manila has the arrangements. Donald Dean Harrison, age 79, of Stewart and formerly of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Don Harrison will be held on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Scott Shook, age 42, of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday at the Taylor House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Scott Shook will be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Guthrie Center High School Gymnasium. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Foster Rutledge, age 86, of Des Moines and formerly of Atlantic, died March the 2nd at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Joint funeral services for Foster Rutledge and his son, Ned Rutledge, will be held on March the 16th at 11 a.m. in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Edward Ned Rutledge, age 65, of Warsaw, Missouri, and formerly of Atlantic, died February 22nd in Missouri. Again, memorial services for Ned Rutledge will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Chapel in Atlantic, along with the joint service for his father. Dwayne Leroy Jensen, of Casa Grande, Arizona, and formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday in Casa Grande. Services for Dwayne Jensen are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Annabelle Peterson, age 89, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Annabelle Peterson are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.